Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today alongside Hugh Douglas. This is the Midday Show, and now we're joined by Rhea Hughes, obviously WIP Morning Show. What's going on, Rhea?
Giglio's Donald Duckin' me.
I was coming after him today.
The first thing I see Rhea, and I'm always so happy to see you, and you were disappointed.
What are you doing in here?
Like, I wanted to rip Giglio today.
Yeah, Joe was on yesterday, man. That's my partner, love him to death, but boy.
When he said Kenny Pickett's could have won those games, I literally almost drove off the highway.
You know what? Shut up.
But you know what the funny part about it was? He looked at me with a straight face, and I knew he really believed
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I could hear it in his voice. It was no disrespect to you, Tom. You know I love you. Yeah. I still can't believe you're having yet. Did you have your third
kid? Not yet.
Hold up,
Tom.
You got three.
I'm going to have three kids in a few weeks.
And they're all like, what, two, three?
Yeah, I have a three-year-old, a two-year-old, and I'm going to have a new
back
baby.
To back.
Yeah.
back to back.
That's the Irish
kid. Yeah, I'm screwed. It's at that point where people don't, they congratulate you, and then they say how sorry they are.
The diapers.
Jason Kelsey brought that up because he and Kylie are having their fourth, and he goes, when is it when they stop congratulating? And I go, well, I was my mom and dad's six. So I don't know if at that point, I was happy they made it to six.
Yeah, well, not getting to six.
No.
But Rhea, one of the things we've been talking about a lot today, obviously huge game tonight, Packers and Lions, and has huge implications on the Eagles. The Lions lose this game tonight, all of a sudden the Eagles in line for the one seed if they win out. How important do you think it is that they get the one seed? I think it's really important. You look at the last couple of years, one seeds in the NFL, it's been huge since they changed the playoff format. Hugh doesn't think they need it as much. Where do you fall on it?
Well, Hugh, it's important for me because the tailgate will be lit for the NFC Championship game, okay?
It always is.
Always, let's remember, it revolves around me and my feelings.
It always is.
Well, I mean, I was listening to Ray Dinger. He said this: the splits of golf inside and outside are stark.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, you want to, and I don't know, I was trying to go through all of the road, the Eagles have a 5-1 road record. Tampa game was the one game they lost. Have they faced a crowd because as Ross said, Ross did that game last year, the NFC Championship game, or their first playoff game, said it was, you couldn't even hear. So that concerns me if that winds up happening.
Yeah, probably the most hostile place they played was probably Baltimore last week, I imagine.
Probably. Because there was a lot of, I heard MVP chants.
Yeah. No, there were a lot of Eagles fans there. And obviously, you know, Dallas and the Giants is just different this year because those teams aren't as good. But yeah, I think that's a big deal. And what I think is the bigger deal is, I mean, their bye week being week five. You're talking about going a long time without getting a rest.
They both had their byes the same week, didn't they? Detroit and the Eagles?
No, I think it was close.
Okay.
That sounds about right.
Within a week.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's been a while for both of them. And, you know, you want Detroit to have to play one more game because they're already decimated. They have 13 defensive players on IR. The rest of the NFL doesn't have more than seven. Schefter reported that this morning.
Mm.
I was like, wow. But, the game against the Bears was the close one they played. You know, so
messed up my parlay. I called it. They thought I was crazy too, Rhea, but I felt it. I got Eberflused. That's what we call
you
it.
Did
I got
Eberflused.
There was so I host Thanksgiving every year. Literally, my family is walking in the door as that game is ending, and I'm like, "Hold on, hold on." There's no hugging. There's no. I got little kids. You know.
Yeah.
I went, "Oh my god." And so I can't say, I couldn't even curse because we're kids there.
Have you ever seen a worse mismanagement? And I know you're not the biggest Andy fan. Andy never mismanaged a game like that.
I don't know. Andy mismanaged it in ways that hurt you three plays later. In that, when I was watching, what I said to myself there is, because, we've been critical of Nick Sirianni. I was like, that wouldn't happen.
Never.
I mean, it reminded me, Hugh, of that game, and this was a player mistake, but all that time ago, and I think it was in Buffalo, somebody got drawn off sides and it ended the game.
Jaquai Parker.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was a player mistake. But that was I knew he was getting fired.
Yeah.
I would have fired him on the field.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. And that would have been huge.
Would have been amazing.
For the Eagles as well. But yeah, I mean, this game tonight is really big. And if the Packers can win it and it puts the Eagles in this position, that would be great. And then you got this other situation with Saquon, where obviously the whole backs for Barkley push, Saquon going for the MVP. Say you're in a situation, Rhea, mm-hmm. where the Eagles are locked in the two seed and they have nothing to gain mm-hmm. the final week of the season, but Saquon is within range of the record.
How much?
See, that matters.
Around 100 yards, play.
No. If he's 20 to 47.
So you say 100 yards, you're like, Well, yeah, because I feel you, because that's still, there's no telling what happens in a 100-yard game. I got you.
Because it's also
what
the Giants.
What if it's 50, though? What if it's like 50?
No, that's on the line, and that's, I don't even know if you let the player, I mean, Hugh, they took $1 million out of your pocket.
Yeah.
I mean, you know this.
Yeah.
Andy sat you for that game.
But he sat me, but they did. They made it right.
Oh.
But still, they made it right. But
you're not allowed to say it publicly?
And I just did.
You just did.
Right, they made it right.
But do you think it's a spot where Nick needs to give Saquon the option or should be obligated to give Saquon the option to go for it if he wants it?
I know it's crazy because I don't normally side with players when it comes to I just think he'll go no.
I agree.
I mean, I just think he played with the Giants for so long. That was a nightmare. Would he have one playoff game? Against the Eagles, where they got blown out?
Well, the week before they won.
And the week before against Minnesota? Was that Minnesota. I just think I think he would say no. I mean, they want to be healthy. So I don't know why I think that about him. It's just kind of a feeling I get about him. When he had a chance to really even stick it more to the Giants there, and he's like, nah, let the young kids have it.
Yeah, and it's going to be really interesting to see, but it could be a weird predicament they find themselves in where you want to let the player have the opportunity, you want them to go for it.
And if he gets hurt, we'll all lose our minds.
Right, Nicole brought it up last
that's
segment.
That's the tough part about
Remember
it.
Last year, week 18, they AJ. Play A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown goes down with knee injury.
Although the way the Eagles played that game in Tampa, I mean, I don't even know why they bothered to get on the plane.
Yeah, probably wouldn't have
I'm mattered. Still bitter about that Monday night playoff game. It's an afterthought. It was so bad. There's no parties. There's no, not that I have like big parties at my house for a game, but it was just there was no buzz around it.
No. And last year was shocking the way that all went down. This year's turnaround, I think it's been more shocking. What do you think? What do you think was more surprising? The way they collapsed last year, the way they turned things around this year? Because if you told me after that Tampa game that they'd bounce back like this and they'd have the best defense in the NFL, I'd think you're absolutely crazy.
I knew they would be better. Just because of Fangio, because I think the phrase was there would be an adult in the room. I don't think any of us saw Zach Bond. I mean, that was just, they just didn't see switching positions. N'Kobe Dean, I was like, I'm not really sure about
Little,
him.
Yeah. Hurt constantly.
When I met him when we did the morning show free throw thing, I went, that is my starting linebacker. I'm like, woof, he's a little bit taller than me.
Yeah.
But he's hitting and he hits. Hard.
And that's the thing. Yeah. Like this defense, they're just suffocating. Yeah. Like they're all over the place. They're all running to the ball. And I mean, you look at the drafts the last couple of years, Jalen Carter, Quinion Mitchell, Cooper DeJean. I mean, Jaylen Howie really
Hunt
crushed.
Wasn't supposed to be on the field this year.
No.
And he's gotten a couple plays. Nolan Smith is playing well. I've always been, I kept getting crushed for my takes on Jordan Davis because I kept going, I just see something there. They got to limit him. And if they limit him, he can be effective in the run.
Yeah,
when he gets the run.
You know what? The unfortunate thing about Jordan is that I saw him play at Georgia, and I'll never forget it. It was when they played Alabama in the SEC championship game, and they lost because Alabama kept them on the field. And I remember
Too
saying,
long.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember saying a friend of mine. We were watching the game, and I was like, "Dude, he's not a good pass rusher." And he said, "Dude, he's not a pass rusher."
No,
he said, "That's not what he does. He's the rundowns. He's a run stopper."
And they were able to do that. What the Eagles were doing against the Ravens was what had been a problem early in the season. They couldn't get stops on first and second down. So, when they had him in obvious passing downs, you could take him off the field.
Yeah, and that's where his strength is. And it's unfortunate that for us here in Philadelphia, when you draft a player as high as you draft him, you're expecting some pass rush capabilities. And that's just not him. That's just not who he is.
He's not my biggest surprise on the team, though.
Who is?
My biggest surprise is on the offense. It's Mekhi Becton. I mean,
real.
I mean, it's just, when they picked him up, I went, oh, okay, that's backup. I just thought, depth. And then all of a sudden he's playing and He's on the second level knocking guys out.
And the interesting thing about it is when you hear offensive linemen talk about him, like Jason pointed him out this morning on with you guys. I've seen Brian Baldinger talking about how great Mekhi Becton's played. And yeah, that was a big question mark. And that's what has been so incredible as well as far as the planning ahead, because I thought they were really going to miss Jason on the field. They really have been able to
replace
him
very quietly. Yeah, we replaced you, Jason.
I mean, I think he'd agree. I mean, no, Cam Jurgens, Becton, they play great inside.
No, they've been amazing. It's been like, and why I was getting so upset with Julio yesterday is, I think, and yeah, the game manager tag is a terrible one.
Yeah,
but I think it's discounting what Jalen has done these past eight games. I did not like the way he played the first four games.
Definitely.
Decision-making was not there. I think you got to give credit to everything he's doing.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I understood where Joe was coming from because, and like I kept saying, it's hard to quantify because as a fan of the game, somebody that's a layman, they don't see or don't – it's hard to explain the intangibles that he brings to the game, the decision-making, the quick decision-making.
Oh, and he's been much quicker with his decision-making.
Yes, he has.
He's making some anticipation throws. The one to AJ was.
Yeah, the slant.
Oh, that was absolutely 100%.
Could you say it again? Because when I told them that yesterday, him and Kyle, they laughed at me.
Well, they're out of their mind.
They are that.
It was 100% an end. He threw that ball before AJ was there.
Yes.
Well, I'll say this. I don't think Joe and other people's fears with Jalen are completely unfounded.
Like, no, they're not.
If you fall behind in a game, you might need to throw more. But where I will give Jalen credit, even though he's not throwing for a bunch of numbers, he is making the throws when he needs to. And I think at the end of the game on Sunday, biggest play of the game was that third and seven. They needed it, and he got that ball to Goddard over the middle. That was a big-time throw when he needed to make big-time
throws. That drive, I believe, they went no huddle on that drive, and he was terrific in it.
Yeah.
He was terrific calling out the ball. So I feel real good. And this whole thing about the passing attempts per game, the six worst teams in that are like the six best teams in the NFL. The Lions aren't throwing the ball a lot. The Packers aren't throwing the ball a lot. The Ravens aren't throwing. Buffalo is like at 22 with 30.
Right.
So I don't think there's like six pass attempts a game that are separating them.
The league really has kind of reverted back.
The worst in the league. Do you know who worst in the league of pass attempts is?
Who?
The Dallas Cowboys.
Okay. Well,
the top four teams in pass attempts are the four of the worst teams in the league.
And also, I think that byproduct of falling behind in games, sure, and better teams
100%.
Are going to be
ahead. Yeah. But that's why they're the worst teams in the league.
Yeah.
Because they've fallen behind.
No, definitely. Yeah. Let's go to Chris in Middletown. What's up, Chris?
Happy plant-based day, man. And Rhea.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
Wait, thank you, Chris. I love that.
Rhea, we need your help here, Rhea.
I'm here.
Hugh Douglas.
What I do
on.
Now? What I do?
Look, you see what you did. You're a bad influence, Douglas, today.
What
you
I do?
Know what? Your plant-based ways are splitting over to young TK.
But I'm not being plant-based.
Plant-based. Next thing you know, he's going to be laying hands on coworkers and going to see HR. All right.
What?
Listen, we've moved past threatening coworkers. I don't do that kind of thing anymore. I'm reformed.
Really.
Not in a while, anyway.
Well, you've got me here now. I've actually got in the middle of fights.
Rhea's here to protect me from Hugh.
No, I'm here to protect Hugh. I've protected Hugh once.
Okay. Oh, really?
He probably forgets that.
Man, I've had some moments that I'm not so proud of.
what else you got, Chris?
Well, there is a story that needs to be said after this call. Yeah. We need that scoop. TK, listen, don't be plant-based, all right? There's still hope for you. Don't be like you. So, guys, listen, this number one seed nonsense, let's just put this to rest because it's total, total nonsense. Since 2000, there's only been two teams that won a Super Bowl that were number one seeds. That was the 03 Patriots and the 09 Saints. So this nonsense that we need to get the number one seed to stand a chance and blah, blah,
Chris,
blah.
Chris, what are you talking about? That is not true at all.
Look
really?
It up.
The Eagles were the one seed when they won the Super Bowl in 17.
Chiefs, look it up.
Chris, I mean, I'll look it up, but you're wrong.
The Eagles were in the one seed.
The Eagles were absolutely the one seed in 2017.
What is Chris talking about?
The Vikings were the two, and they had to come here.
Facts are getting in the way. Well, we'll make our own facts.
Well, I mean, so you know, if you bring incorrect facts.
Listen, fact, this is the midday show. We don't necessarily need facts here, okay?
Not all.
Kind of a big fact.
kind of important. All right, listen, here's the point, guys. I mean, really, you're talking about this because we're saying, are we fearful to go into Detroit? I'm not afraid to go into Detroit. I think that team is going to get exposed. I'm not afraid of Jared Goff. I'm not afraid of going in there. Plus, you talk about the injury bug biting them. It's biting them. Going into Green Bay, that could be tough in the postseason because we know that frozen tundra is not going to be pretty. But Love will make mistakes, and I do believe in our defense, and I do believe that defense matters. That's why we had number one defense view. But I do believe that they are the best team. So, guys, this is the point that I really want to say more than anything is I don't care for number one. I don't care for number two. I don't care that we need the bye. I don't care about any of that. This team is rolling. They are on a historic pace. Saquon's going to break that single-season NFL rushing record. It's going to happen. And, guys, it's going to happen before that Giants game. So we can, if we're number two seed, rest him going into the postseason because it's going to happen. Hugh is 100% correct that it's going to happen sooner than that last game. And the one problem that I have is with Jalen. If Jalen would stop vulturing the tush-push touchdowns from him, he'll win the MVP as well, hands down. And we're taking all the hardware home, guys. Chris, I'm not afraid of competition.
We appreciate the call. Where was Chris getting his stats from that no one seed has won the Super Bowl since
19? Well, they're saying since 75, 26 number one seeds. But the Eagles were the one seed.
Yeah, the Eagles were the one seed. The Chiefs were the one seed when they won.
Was he mistaking how many times one seed faced a one seed?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe that doesn't happen as often.
Well, Chris had what we call alternative facts.
Yeah. Chris.
Sometimes those alternative facts they're pretty alternative.
And the tush push is highly effective, and that's a no.
I do not understand why people want to get away from the tush push. Like
because it messed up my parlay. If you're asking me, it messed
up.
Well,
you should not be doing parlays with it.
You know what? Now I've stopped doing that.
week 13.
This is the thing. I would love Saquon to get these touchdowns too, but I watch these other games around the NFL, and so many teams just can't convert on short yardage.
Yeah,
the Seahawks in that
money.
Game on Sunday, they had 7 plays from the 1 yard line
and couldn't do it,
and couldn't get in.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Money. This is what's the percentage rate for the Eagles? Like 90 something?
I think it's 92%.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Yeah. So do what works.
I kind of feel like people were upset with it when the Eagles almost used it. It seemed like they were using it as a crutch. Like they couldn't move the ball on offense very well. And then it's like, all right, what are we doing? Do we have actual short yardage plays? But now I think the sentiment around it is that it fits into like the physical brand of football that the Eagles play. Like that's their identity at this point in the season. Yeah. And it's almost like the tush push like exemplifies that.
I love it. And I love that situation last week where it's like, okay, the Eagles are in 3rd and 1 on that drive where they're trying to ice it.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, you're
going to get it.
You're going to get it.
Yeah.
You have 2 opportunities to get it. And I like Nick acting like, you know, CJ and Devontae on the sideline told him, okay, you need to go for this. He was going for that the whole time.
And I do want to mention something about CJ because I don't think there were so many great things about that game. When he gathered defense on the sideline and gave him the pep talk early in that game, that was very impressive. Because I can only imagine the words that were being used.
Yeah. No, that was a huge deal. And I can't get over how good this defense has become. I mean, to give up 9 points early and really just 3 points the rest of the game, give up that garbage time touchdown at the end, it's incredible. And I got to say, Rhea, this has got to make you, watching this year under Vic Fangio, it's got to make you dislike Jonathan Gannon even more.
Oh,
right?
I did say that I think Embiid has moved ahead of him in terms of who I don't like.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, the Gannon thing, whenever I watch an hour, I like to find myself rooting against him, and I like Kyler Murray. I like watching him. You know, he's not great, but I enjoy him. I just, you look at what that defense did. Because our talk this morning was, is this team better than the 2022? And I'm like, defensively, they are.
No question.
You know, I mean, yeah, Jalen turned the ball over in the Super Bowl there, but what that defense did in that second half against them was brutal.
And the way he handled everything, too, that cost them Fangio last year.
Well, Fangio's not out, you know, skulking around for a head coaching job while you're planning for the biggest game, you know, in your team's history.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, so. And if Gannon had done things the right way, maybe then you have Vic Fangio last year, maybe things don't fall apart.
Well, they probably don't, but they didn't have the player turnover is just remarkable.
Yeah, the players are so much better.
They went from an old defense to a young defense like that.
Yeah. I mean, they
and not only that, they went to a bunch of young players that don't mind being coached.
Yeah.
Because that was the one thing that you heard Miami's players say about Coach Fangio was that he wasn't friendly. I don't know any defense coordinator that was friendly.
How Tommy Brazier? How friendly was he?
He was not that friendly. No, but I,
Kate, listen, this misnomer that young kids don't want to be disciplined.
Yes.
Coached. You know, you have young children. I mean, they're young. I have a teenager. He knows what he's, you know.
Yes, and
there's discipline there. Yeah,
it's being humbled, and you're talking about a bunch of young men who you have to figure out their why.
Yeah,
and it's obvious. In Miami, they didn't have one.
No.
They just thought they were going to roll the helmets out there and be in Miami and everything was going to be
okay.
Look
at Jalen Carter. I mean, he's gone from a guy who kind of tailed off. He's playing like every snap now.
Yeah. And he's playing with a fire in his
ferocity.
Yes. 70 of 71 snaps on
Sunday.
It's
insane.
You just don't see that.
No.
Incredible. But Rhea, thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
Love it.
Always.
Always fun. The great Rhea Hughes. Thank you to her for joining us for this segment. When we get back, all your calls after a quick break. Do you think the Eagles need a one seed? Get on the phone lines with that. Plus, when we come back, we'll discuss something Jeff McClain reported about the Eagles' practices this season and get Hugh's take on that. Should be interesting. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.